Bill, did you get your bonus yet?
Good news. Happy hour starting early. It's the bonus hour.
Bonus.
Of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
How did you get a bonus?
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
I cut out bonuses this year.
And it starts now.
Hey, hey, happy Tuesday, all you beautiful radio listeners. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon, enjoying the clear, crisp sounds of 105.1 The Fan on FM. It's the bonus hour. It's the slow launch of the happy hour with Luke Anderson. And joining me for the first hour, this will normally be Ducks Insider Hour. So we'll bring in our own Ducks Insider and the brand man, Dusty Harrow. What's happening?
Look, I'm excited, just first of all, for the happy hour with Luke Anderson starting.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I am really excited for what this show is going to become and the identity and the stamp that you're going to put on it.
Appreciate that.
There is a, and this is going to be Duck Insider Zone. This is it. The 1 to 2, starting on Monday, you'll be able to hear Duck Insider from 1 to 2, and that's going to take us all the way through the sports calendar for the University of Oregon. So it goes from late July into early June, and then this, it's going to be bonus hour territory
that's
for Luke
right.
Anderson, June and July.
Which is fantastic, because it's really the time of the year where there's not any dominant sports headlines. So we can really kind of figure out what it is. The fun part is, I've worked with Jeff Rust a handful of times, but now he's my full-time producer. And we were kind of, we're kind of thrown into this a little bit. We've got a few things to change around here. So he's still producing The Firm of Harris and Marang. We did all the new imaging. We did all of the new. We've got a pretty good idea of where we're starting. I'm actually excited to see what the show will be in 2 months. By the time we get around to next June. So I honestly don't know. So to have the only show that is my show, I get kind of all the creative input and see what happens. It's going to be a blast. What happens today?
Blanche.
Who knows?
You have carte blanche to take it where you want it, whether that is to the moon or into the side of a mountain. I hope it is to the moon.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Probably. But yes, we're aiming for the moon.
May hit a mountain on the way to the moon, but you're going to get there, buddy.
Yeah.
Let's go. How awesome is this?
Dude, this is fantastic. Well, driving in this morning.
We are on FM.
That's the big thing, right? Like driving in this morning, my car's set on 1080, The Fan. So I get in and I hear the subtle sounds of Dirt and Sprague.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, oh, got to switch it over to 105.1. They are not subtle at all. It's just the signal. It is booming a new voice guy. Cornell Womack sounds fantastic, but you switch it over to FM, it is a better sound, it is a bigger audience, it is the whole thing. So to be part of the, not only the switch over from AM to FM, but being part of the daily lineup. I mean, it's been a long time of doing Saturday shows. On Friday, we'll have Will Darkins in here. We'll do a little farewell to the sinner and saint in the bonus hour. But looking forward to getting started on this thing.
It's nice having it on the FM dial now, because no longer as I approach the tunnel is it, well, now here is the crux of the problem.
If you're only going to listen to one thing that I say for this entire broadcast, the next 32 seconds are going to be exactly what you need to hear.
It's gone. Yeah, this move is incredible for us. And there's a lot of people, I've gotten this question a ton, as the day has gone on, the last 24 hours since we announced yesterday at 3 o'clock that we were going to be moving over to FM, is that what does this even mean?
Yeah.
You know, and the whole thing is, if you're listening on FM right now, you can flip over to the AM and you can tell the difference in the quality of the sound.
Yeah.
And the difference of the quality is night and day. It's also a wider reach. And the reality of it is that AM for 35 years, this station was all sports on AM. It's the longest running sports station on the West Coast, continuously running. It was a legacy station on the AM, whether it was 1520 or 910 or 1080. It had its different iterations. It was the same station. It just moved to a couple different places. Well, the reality of it is now there's a lot of cars that are being made that don't even have an AM radio in it.
Yep.
You know, we had a couple of guys and gals saying, you know, I drive, you know, a Rivian or a Tesla and I don't get AM, right?
Yeah.
Well, now you can get the fan and you don't have to stream it. You can be part of the club that is totally live, no delay whatsoever. Like, unfortunately, the app does have, because you take it from radio, then you process it through the streaming service, and then boom, it takes a little bit to get there. Well, this is big for us, and there's a lot of people that, you know, as much as people want to say that, you know, radio and people are just listening on their phones, they're not.
No.
They're really not.
Well, it's part of its ease of access, right? I mean, because we have the HD2 signal, and you could find it if you had, again, that's another equipment thing, right? You might have AM, you might have FM, you might have one or neither, and then HD2. Some people have it, some people don't. But the ease of access, just flipping it on 105.1, and one of our sales gals, Paulina, made the comment. She said, nobody surfs through the AM dial.
No, like, if you go to AM, you have to make it a point to go over there.
But we'll find people on the FM dial that are just surfing through, and if we're talking about something that makes an impact. You've been keeping an eye on everything that's happening all day with comments and everything. Yep. What's the reaction from the general public today?
I think that there's a ton of excitement just because, you know, everybody get in their cars, you can just listen to the fan on FM, and that's great. But I think that the biggest one, folks love the new lineup so far. And I am a huge fan of this lineup. We are live and local for 13 hours, Monday through Friday.
It's pretty rad.
That is very rad. Then when we can go from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and be live and local, that's a game changer, because look, we're talking about what you care about. I mean, that's the thing, is that you don't have to hear about the Lakers or the Cowboys or the, you know, the Yankees and Red Sox.
Just a warning, the entire second hour of this show will be Lakers, Red Sox, and Cowboys. So just a heads up, just, you know, be ready, but it'll be from a local perspective. So
like,
don't worry about
hatred for it.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
we don't have to pretend we like Jerry Jones, which is important. So, yeah.
But this is the fact that we are local here and we have now an extra hour with Dirt and Sprague. Those two guys, they earned it.
Yeah.
They earned that 6 to 10 a.m. time slot. To have the firm going 10 to 1, it makes all the sense in the world. To have Duck Insider, which, you know, we are the home of the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
And when we were previewing a basketball game, that we would air Duck Insider after that basketball game completed. That was a little bit of a problem.
You're not serving your listeners with that. Yeah.
And the fact that you get Rob Mullins, Dan Lanning, Dana Altman, players, assistant coaches, that, to be quite frank, nobody else gets on that show. It was a no-brainer to have that, and then to have put you in right before Isaac and Suk made all the sense in the world. We can ramp up back to hyper-local, and it's going to be a ton of fun, and I'm so glad that everybody is along for this ride. I think the lineup is going to crush it on the FM dial. You don't have to go anywhere else. We will still have 1080 existing for situations, too, where, and this is a part that, you know, inside radio here, when we have a Duck game that interrupts our daily lineup, that's not a problem anymore. When we have a play-by-play event that interrupts any of our local programming, they can go and they will live on 1080. And you can still hear, you know, Dirt and Sprague, the firm, you, and Primetime, where you're trained to go every single Monday through Friday. And that's exciting to me, that we will have the ability to split off in those rare instances where those guys would get preempted, and we can play our hits, man, which is our local lineup.
Well, speaking of Radio Insider, you jumped into the deep end. Like, for me to have a show move to like the primetime lineup at the switch, that's pretty cool. You got thrown into it. What are you, 2 months into this job as a brand manager?
Yeah, I think so. I think
you don't
is,
even know.
No, it has been for me. Look, it was thrown in the deep end is the nicest term that you could say.
It's FCC cleared, so I figured that was the safest term to use.
I got hired, and look, this move. Our general manager Ryan Cooley, he stepped in to his seat as GM back in December. And he really put the full court press on it. And he'd been working on it since like October. And then, or
did I hear that there was a proposal that he was part of in 2013 to make a move like this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that goes way back. You're talking 12 years.
He was working side by side with the man that I replaced, the great Jeff Austin, Sacramento Baton Rouge,
yep.
Montpellier. And right. Jeff and Cooley really started putting the wheels in motion and to make this happen. And it's not just because we had two people that care about this station so deeply. The team on air was pulling their weight as well. Sales was pulling their weight as well. And once I got put into place and Jeff said he was going to ride off into the sunset, it was, all right, man, you know, and this was part of my plan, my business plan to get this job was like, eventually I want to move the fan to FM. Well,
yeah.
I started, and tag, you're like, it. Guess Go. What? We're going to start to get this ball rolling. And so it was, I wasn't just missing shows with Danny just to miss them. When they were saying I was doing the brand manager stuff, like it was, all right, we have to get with engineering. We have to get with market ops, which is your website and your app. And I had to design the logo and tell
you
people.
You designed the logo?
Tell people that I had.
Your
well,
art
I didn't
skills.
Draw.
Your art skills underestimate.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I was sitting there telling somebody that I've never met before who's, it is not their passion. It's their career to be a graphic designer that I didn't like some of the things that were initially thrown our way. And so I was sitting there trying to go, all right, we want to have it local. We just don't want to have like a pennant in our.
I saw the original logo, and it was basically the same logo that every sports station uses when they're like, hey, clip art, what does a logo look like? It was weak effort.
So our new logo is, it's 105.1 on top. The fan is underneath. And then back behind it is the Fremont Bridge. And
which sits right above our studios, so it's perfectly apropos.
That was one of the things I wanted in there was we literally broadcast from the shadows of the Fremont Bridge.
Yes, we do.
And it's uniquely Portland. So I thought that fit with everything that we do. So it was everything, man. There's so many details that go into this. I had to learn what nodes are.
What are nodes?
They're little triggers to tell all the computers and everything, you know, that whether we're running a spot or what's on the air, whether we're local or into national programming, and all of them have different numbers. There were times where I would just be sitting on these Zoom calls with engineers, and they're talking. They're like, "Are you following?" I'd be like, "No. I am not."
Well,
you know what? We got here.
Yeah. You and I actually had a happy hour right after you took the job. And I was like, what are you thinking, bud? That was my first question was, do you know what you got yourself into? And not only are you jumping into this role as brand manager of an iconic station, congratulations.
Thank you.
The transition to FM, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're keeping your other job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your other job is, of course, sidelines for Ducks Radio Network. You're going to be down in Eugene. You're keeping up with everything that's going on. So we have you here for two reasons. One, to talk, hey, this transition is awesome. Everything that's going on, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think the listeners will thank you for the clear sound that we have. But we still get to talk football.
We do. We can talk football. Yeah. We do need to talk voice guy, though, because that's the one thing that I've heard a lot about.
Oh, I've got some voice guy stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our voice guy, we do have a new voice of the fan.
Juilliard trained Cornell Womack is our new voice guy. Yeah. We will talk about him next when the happy hour bonus hour continues on 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. That's right. All week we have bonus happy hour. So it'll be 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock every day this week. Starting Monday, Joey Mack will be in this time slot with Ducks Insiders. So your best access to not only football, basketball, baseball, all Ducks sports. During the fall, it's going to be your chance to hear Rob Mullins and Dan Lanning. Assistant coaches do not get sent out elsewhere. So the only way to hear them will be on Ducks Insider from 1 to 2 every day. And then my happy hour will go 2 to 3 to get everybody ready for Isaac and Suk. Very excited about it. Dusty Harris sitting in with me. We've been talking about the flip from AM to FM, from, you know, 105 or from 1080 The Fan to 105.1 The Fan, everything that you've been doing to get that happening. But one of the things you wanted to talk about, because I don't know that we've got to acknowledge this publicly yet, but the ousting of our former voice guy.
Not ousting.
The replacement? How would you put it?
It was just a change.
What do they call it? Uncoupling?
Yeah.
Mutual uncoupling?
Vic was awesome for us. And
the great Vic Orlando.
He was our former voice guy, and he was here for several years. And, you know,
my entire tenure.
I think it was 2006, I believe, is when Vic started here. And when you have long runs like that, you make a change like this. It is common that you do make a change to your big voice, and this because
was that something somebody recommended to you?
Yeah, it's one of the things that you go, all right, you have to redo all of your imaging. All of our imaging is every time you hear the big voice, right? Every promo, liner, station ID, show open, all that stuff, and that is a large task to undertake. And so you start kind of spinning the wheels on that, and you take a look around, and it just felt like the time was right to make that, because it's a really long time to have, you know, the singular voice of the station. And I came across Cornell, who is our new voice guy, and he was just different.
How many voices did you hear before you got to that one?
Anywhere between like 30 and 50.
Okay. So
like I went
yeah, you
through.
Went deep.
Like I wasn't just going to just willy-nilly say no. But our new voice guy, his voice popped, and I started looking into him and kind of what he does. And I noticed he'd never done radio before. Like, he'd never done radio imaging before. He's done, and his resume is wild. He played.
You need to share it, because you and I watched some clips. It's very, very entertaining.
He is an actor. He has been in
Juilliard.
He did go. He went to Juilliard, and he's an actor. He's been like, he was in Transformers 2. He's been in like Law and Order, Rescue Me. He's had a lot of roles and a lot of stuff where you'd be like, Oh, that guy.
You and I were watching like the crime show reel of his. So it was, he's the guy at the morgue. He's the
guy who eats a sandwich at the orgue. He's a lawyer. He's the director of the FBI in Transformers 2. But he also is not just an actor. He does voiceover work. So he was the voice of Hennessy.
Nice.
The NFL Network, BET, HLN. He has done so, like, his resume, you just look at it and you're like, oh my gosh. He did the trailer for like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You hear all these voices and they're nameless, faceless guys.
Yeah.
But then you go and you actually look at the resume. So the voice grabbed you.
Yep.
Then you look at the resume and go, okay, this station will now sound like no other.
And it's the range that he has is going to be fun, because one thing that I got on the phone with him, started talking with him, he was in, man. And he's excited to do something different. And he sends us different variations, puts his own twist on things. We have some opens. I know you have a lot of imaging that it's going to be entertaining, and he plays along with it, and he rolls with the punches and plays with the bits. I think people are going to love the new club open.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I've not heard it yet.
The new club open is pretty awesome.
Nice.
And, but it's a big change. Like, all of this is a change for listeners. I understand people are like, I don't like it. Look, I sit there and I'm like, Vic was synonymous with the fan for so long. Like, when I interned here, Vic was the voice of the fan, and he just started, right? A lot of this is new. You're gonna love it. It's gonna grow on you. Yeah. It's gonna be a ton of fun. But new voice guy.
Yeah, one of the fun things was doing the imaging for a brand new show. We're trying to come up with, you know, ways to brand it. It's a happy hour, so it's gonna be quick. We're gonna try to go PTI meets Sinner and Saint. That was kind of the idea of the show. It'll be quick hitting. We'll do all this. So the imaging is going to do some of the lifting for us. So my show has all these different intros that take us right into the segment, so we don't have to dilly-dally and do whatever. So we sent off scripts to Cornell, and they come back, and just the amount of variation that he has in the reads, that kind of directed us on what the image it ended up being. So yeah. when you listen to it, I hope you enjoy it. But yeah, his voice definitely popped. The funny thing was I played a couple for my wife and I go, oh, have a listen. And she goes, what about the other guy? And I'm like, how often do you even listen to the station? And she goes, enough. And I go, well, you know, sometimes you got to make changes. So even casual listeners will probably notice it. But the cool thing is when you go around the country, you would hear Vic's voice on occasion.
Absolutely.
But now it'll be the fan voice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's going to be on his resume, and then other people will pick it up. But we'll be first.
We are the first. It's easy. We're the only radio station that has him right now. I have a feeling we will not be the last radio station to have him. So there's, dude, this whole thing, it's been 2 months that I've been on the job. There's been a ton that has changed. I'm not changing things just for the sake of changing them.
Yep.
I think that what we have is pretty damn special, and I can't wait for everybody to hear kind of all the things that we do roll out and where it goes from here, because this is gonna be fun, man.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a great time with it, and I hope everybody's along for the ride. It's been a lot of work. Again, I know that everybody's thanked him before. Our GM Ryan Cooley,
absolutely.
Our sales staff, our general sales manager, you know, Sam Tung. Those guys believe in this station. Mm-hmm. They believe in what we're doing. They believe in our listeners, too, because this doesn't happen without our listeners,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Austin, who he set the table. Like I text him, you know, you set the table. Now we got to eat. And
you were his first hire?
Yeah.
How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
Full circle.
That was a really cool. It was a really cool just moment for me to just be like, golly. He took a flyer on a kid from a directional school and where you drink just as much as you go to school.
Well,
and
it's probably a little more.
Yeah, he helped grow so much talent here. It's a ton of fun to be a part of that, and it's an honor. It really is. So let's get this thing rolling, man,
because this
is going to be...
And just so everybody knows, nothing's going to change too dramatically. Obviously, all the new stuff that we have. But when football season hits, we are still all in on Home of the Ducks. Game day is going to be started off with the new Saturday show, which will be Joe and Rashad.
Yep.
They're going to take that over. They'll lead right into Ducks game day, which is going to be you, Dirt, Anthony Newman, as it has been. We'll still have Seahawks on Sundays. So weekend programming, football programming, all staying the same.
Yeah, that's the only thing that is different is the hot corner, because P. Harris is now a Monday through Friday guy. He was like, I still want to do the hot corner on Tuesdays. He did one Tuesday 3-hour show, and then that 2-hour, he's like, golly, man, that is a lot to do in one day. And so Hot Corner is retired with Patrick Harris, and he is moving on up to the bigs, and he's got a Monday through Friday show. And then with you coming into this slot here, Sinner and the Saint has rode off to the sunset.
Yep. We'll do our final ride on Friday, but we'll send him off. So yeah,
you and Darkins on the way out. He asked me to fire him today, which was a weird email to get. but
well, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it on Friday, but he was ready to retire. Had a second child, had a little girl born at the end of May.
So he was
ready to go. He's ready to go full dad mode. So it's a little bittersweet to move on, but I think we're going to make that change anyway. So
yeah,
the timing couldn't have worked out much better for that. And then for
Joe and Rashad, move from Sunday to Saturday. Let's go.
Well, wait till their first Saturday. They wake up at 6 and come in here and realize how many Duck fans are on the road and listening and commenting back. That was one of the stranger things. The first time I got a text message going, hey, we've got a noon kickoff and we need you guys to come in a little bit early. And then we got a 9 a.m. kickoff. And it's like, what do you think about showing up? And I'm like, I don't know if anybody's going to be listening, but they were. And being the kickoff and the tailgate show for Duck Saturdays was one of my favorite things about doing the Saturday show. So it will be a blast. We're going to put you in Ducks Insider mode since we don't have Joey Mack this week. Let's talk Big Ten, and we'll do the preview. We'll do that next. But first, here is Jeffrey Rust with a SportsCenter update. Social D bringing us back. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the first ever edition of the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan. The station really wants you guys to like me, so they have given me bribes So today through Friday, you have a chance to win tickets to an advanced screening of The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. So all you have to do is text in 503-864-6FAN, that's 6326, for your chance to win tickets. And then you can win. You text the word Naked. That is S-W-I-N-J. No, wait. That is N-A... K-E-D to 503-864-6326 for your chance to win. Send the word Naked, and it's a chance to win a pair of tickets to The Naked Gun on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. These tickets are courtesy of Paramount Pictures, so do that now.
Now, I'm excited for Liam Neeson to be in the role of Naked Gun. I don't know how many people are, but Liam Neeson, he is so serious.
Yes, he is.
We all go to Taken, right?
Yep.
I have a very particular set of skills.
You're damn right.
We know that you do, Mr. Rust.
Yeah, yeah. But he's got comedy chops, too.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't make a mockery of the great Leslie Nielsen.
Well, see, but that was the beauty of Leslie Nielsen. I think it's funny how much their names sound alike, too. Liam Neeson, Leslie Nielsen. But you have Leslie Nielsen, who was a very serious dramatic actor, and then he got cast in Airplane.
Yep.
And that's what launched the whole Naked Gun, Frank Drebin, the hilarity that was the Naked Gun.
Yeah.
So getting a guy that is known for being serious is the only way to go. I just don't know how they do it without OJ.
Yeah, yep. Well, they got jokes.
Oh.
They got jokes.
I am confident that they do.
They got
so
jokes.
Just the parody genre is always just ready to go, and I'm here for it.
I want parody comedy to be back.
Yes.
And not be afraid that people are going to get so upset. It's comedy.
It is.
I mean, Blazing Saddles has horrific language and themes in it.
Yes, it does.
But it was meant to be a statement against people who truly believe.
Yeah.
In using those words in those themes.
Yep.
Like, that's exactly what it was.
Well, some of the best movies I remember from my childhood are the parodies, the Loaded Weapon series, the Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part
Deux.
You have the Robin Hood Men in Tights, Spaceballs. And all of these are fantastic. All the scary movies.
Shorts is as big as mine.
Yes. They're making another Spaceballs, too.
Yay.
So, yes, I hope it works out with Leslie Nielsen. I hope it's hilarious. And you know what? The funny thing is, even if it is, it will be absolutely bashed by critics, and that's the way it should be. So watch it, enjoy it, win tickets with us. So we'll have that keyword throughout Happy Hour all week for you.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right. I have admitted many times on this airwaves, it won't be a surprise to anybody that's heard me talk, I'm not the biggest college football fan. I'm not a Ducks fan in particular. So tell me what I need to know to get caught up. Dante Moore is playing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all I know. Dan Lanning jumped in a swimming pool. I do know that.
You know that.
So those are the two things that I've got.
Yeah.
What's like the 10,000 foot view on the Ducks this year?
The bar is incredibly high when you go through the Big Ten schedule and you finish 13-0 in Big Ten play. I mean, that is, and when you look at Dan Lanning,
Is that the first thing people think of when they think of last season, though? It's Ohio State,
no,
right?
It is. It's that loss and also that win against Ohio State.
That's fair.
In the way that both of those games went. But the bar when you go through the regular season, and all bets are off when it comes to the college football playoff. And I think that is a massive learning experience for this Oregon team, is that look at Lanning's career. He starts off with three losses, then goes to two, and then ends last year with one. I mean, it's like the bar keeps being raised.
Yeah.
And when you hear Lanning talk and you hear people in that program in the orbit of Oregon football, it is good. Continue to raise the bar. Don't lower expectations because last year was good. It wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah.
That becomes exponentially harder when you go from Bo Nix to Dylan Gabriel, and Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon Ducks. Dante Moore, you want to talk about a guy who swallowed his pride, and he went to UCLA because he wanted to play immediately.
Yep.
He got, you know, whether it's a big NIL package or whatever it is. I think that that's funny when people say he ran to UCLA for the NIL, but then they accuse Oregon of having more NIL than anybody else, right?
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, as much money as there is out there, there's a lot more money waiting in the NFL, and there's more NIL money waiting if you play well. And going and having a chance to play right away is a way to bet on yourself.
Yep.
And you can take the money, you know, from any number of schools, but you're not going to play over Bo Nix coming back for a, 17th college football season or whatever it was at the time. So Dante Moore has a year sitting. It's the first time we've seen a guy wait to take the starting job in a while.
Well, and what he did was he said, all right, I know I'm not, he would have been the starter last year at UCLA,
sure,
in all likelihood. I mean, he was not horrific. Look at the team that was around him at UCLA in Chip's final year.
Well, and Chip was halfway out the door on that season.
There's a reason why Chip Kelly left too, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So Dante Moore goes to Oregon. This is why Dylan Gabriel was the perfect gap year quarterback for the Oregon program, in that Dante Moore took a redshirt and he sat and he actually took in the process of being a starting quarterback. And I think that that is like one of the things that is so lost when you look at quarterback play in college football, is that guys just want to go to somewhere where they can start and they can play right away. Well, you don't learn the tricks of the trade. There's a reason why Bo Nix went through the lumps at Auburn and ended up looking like a completely different quarterback by the time he got to Oregon. There's a reason why Dylan Gabriel was really damn good at UCF in Oklahoma, but then it's the experience and there's nothing that you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And then you learn how to prepare. You learn what different schemes and looks and what defenses perceive your weaknesses to be and how you can beat them. And that takes time. And that preparation is something that has been talked about a ton with Dante Moore and just absorbing what Dylan Gabriel went through last year and seeing that. I don't know what Dante Moore, the quarterback of Oregon, is going to look like come, what is it, August 30th when they play Montana State.
Yep.
But what I do know is that that young man looked dramatically different from the fall to the spring, whether it was the processing and getting the ball out quicker. And you could see that in the spring game, the arm slots and arm angles that he was throwing from, that Dylan Gabriel had ever, when you are a 5'11" quarterback in college football, you got to learn how to throw from every arm angle.
Yeah.
And you could see that Dante Moore was using those arm angles. There was one throw in the spring game where he kind of just leaned around a guy and sidearm flipped it, right? That's not something he had in his bag before.
Yeah.
And so how much did he take and how much is translatable? That's going to be the biggest question for this Oregon program this year, because you are only as good as your quarterback is.
Yeah.
And we saw that with Ohio State last year. Kyle McCord had a great year at Syracuse, but Will Howard was the guy who made a big difference as an organizer and a distributor of the football for Ohio State.
Well, and he was the guy that, you know, took a lot of blame for the loss at Oregon, especially the way, you know,
no doubt,
sliding too, you know, too late and blowing the chance for an opportunity to win that game. But then you see how much he matured as the season goes on. This, with the new life that you have after a loss in college football with a 12-team playoff, changes things pretty dramatically. So even if Dante Moore isn't, you know, leaps and bounds better than he was at UCLA to start the season, it's Montana State, Oklahoma State is a tough test, and it's Northwestern, who is expected to be at the bottom of the Big Ten, Oregon State. It's by the time you get to Penn State, you need him to be ready to go and this offense to be clicking. Where's the strength and the anchor for this Oregon team if Dante Moore isn't great out of the gates?
Running back room is absolutely loaded. If you look at two position groups offensively that are loaded to the gills, that running back room is about six deep. And you have true freshmen. You've got guys like Makai Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer.
If you're six deep, though, is there a workhorse in there? I mean, having six guys is like having nobody, right?
Yeah, Noah Whittington, who came back last year, and I think the Purdue game was his welcome back in coming off a really gruesome knee injury that he suffered against Colorado in 2023. It wasn't until the Purdue game in October that it was like, He's not afraid of the contact. He trusts his leg. He is back. So you have Noah Whittington, Jaden Lamarr, who is kind of a Swiss Army knife, do-it-all guy, who's kind of been waiting his turn and going through it and has been a phenomenal back for them. Mekhi Hughes, who's the Tulane transfer, he comes in into the fold where he is coming back as one of the most highly touted running backs in the entire nation this year. Then you have freshman Jordan Davis, who comes in, D'Air Hill, who also comes in as a true freshman. Last year, you had a Division II transfer in. You want to talk about having options. You've got guys who are Swiss Army knives. You've got Thunderbacks like Jay Harris, who is a monster in the backfield. We didn't see a whole lot of him, but he is a big-bodied back. And then you also have he is a jitterbug, and I don't even want to say it, but because it's
you're
not,
gonna say
it's not like him totally because he was just different, but a small back with that first cut that has an insane burst, and he all of a sudden moves laterally faster than you can in a blink of an eye. Dink Riggs, DeJuan Riggs. Dink is a phenomenal nickname, by the way.
It's great.
He's a jitterbug of a running back, and he's going to be a redshirt freshman out of DC. I mean, that running back room has got speed. It's got receiving out of the backfield. It's got multi-purpose. And it has big body backs. They are going to be good. That offensive line is retooled and they replace a lot, but you don't have to go through a center change. You have Poncho at center. Your two tackles, you went into the portal and you got them out.
Guys with experience on the edges, that makes it a lot easier.
And Isaiah World is the size of the world.
Yeah, from Nevada, right?
Yeah, he is an enormous human being. Yeah.
And they say he has like top 10 potential, but they didn't quite always see that potential at Nevada. So how much credit do you give this Oregon team for not only finding the guys, but being able to develop them and help them go to the next level?
But Mike Kavanaugh, who is now the O-line coach at Oregon State, he was an analyst and an offensive line assistant for the last couple of years at Oregon. And Coach Cav gave nothing but rave reviews about Alik Terry and his ability to teach and connect with his players. And he said he is insane, wickedly smart offensive line coach. They have a staff that they call the law firm down there of offensive line coaches that are great developers of talent. So what they can do with them, what they did with, you know, if just think of Josh Connerly. Okay, he came in as a highly touted prospect. He leaves in 3 years as a first-round pick.
There you go.
Okay?
Yep.
Then you have also guys like Ajani Cornelius, who is a transfer from Rhode Island. And he ends up getting drafted. He is in the NFL as well. Right?
There you go.
You look at what they've been able to do at the center position and developing that position through a litany of offensive line coaches. There's a culture of offensive line, and it really did start with Mario Cristobal transferred over. But their offensive line coaching is from some of the most grizzled, experienced guys in college football say, no, Alik Terry and this staff, they've got it on the O-line. But I think where the run game can really pop, that tight end room is going to be really damn good. And
you're listing all of the quarterback's best friends.
Yep.
A run game, an offensive line, and tight ends. Wide receivers, you got injuries, but that is something where, you know, in big games, you're going to need everybody. But for the first half of the season where you can go out there, if you can get a lead and you've got running backs, tight ends, and an O-line, it's going to make it a lot easier.
And you got DeCorian Moore, and that true freshman is going to be special at wide receiver. He is going to be and I hate to heap the expectations on him, but we saw it in the spring game on the very first play. Right? They said, oh, we got a new toy. We're going to use him. And you know Will Stein is going to use him.
Yeah.
They replace so much offensively, though. At wide receiver, whether it's Tez Johnson or Trayshawn Holden, you know, and now Evan Stewart, like, you have some big shoes to fill there.
Yeah.
And it's going to be by committee, but you have a pretty dang special freshman in DeCorian Moore.
All right. Well, the Big Ten has 18 teams because, of course, it does. So going through and finding how many of those teams actually have a chance to win is our task. We'll do that next. It is the bonus hour of the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan. I don't know what part sounds the best there. 105.1 FM, the Luke Anderson Happy Hour. It all sounds great to me. It's Big Ten Media Week, so we've got Dusty Hara in here using his Ducks Insider chops to replace Ducks Insider for this week. Yeah, you got your two deeps over there. I see what you're doing.
Had to go back into my notes.
Yeah.
Got my notes.
Have you started getting into full football mode at all, or have you just been neck deep in the
I've been trying fan? To breathe.
Yeah,
That's what I've been trying to do here, and then I think next week I'll start.
Well, perfect. You're on this show for three days this week, so if you want to jump into it next week, that'd be great for us.
Perfect. All right, I'll start tomorrow.
Okay, there we go.
I'll start tomorrow morning.
It's like an old school when Will Ferrell spat out that answer, and he's like, "Whoa, I don't know what happened."
I just took a look at my notes, and I was like, "All right, let's go through this. Let's go through this running back room. I do like that running back room a lot."
Yeah. Well, this is probably a nice reprieve for you in the middle of the day. Just let's get back to what we know. You were on air for in part for 17 years.
17
I mean, that
years.
Was what you did, producing, reading updates, doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
So learning the new job at high speed and jumping back into this, I'm sure, is fun. So let's take a look at the Big Ten as a whole. The preseason poll has Penn State, the preseason media poll has Penn State at number one, Ohio State at two, Oregon at three. Then it goes Michigan, Illinois, who returns, I believe, 16 starters. Then Indiana. How deep should we go with somebody that can actually win this Big Ten? Because it very much feels like the top three is your pick'em, and everybody else is a long shot.
It'll be interesting to see what Michigan does this year. In year two under Sherrone Moore, with now Bryce Underwood at quarterback, you have a true freshman quarterback, and you can be as highly touted as you want. That's a really big task, especially with the schedule that Michigan's going to have to play in the Big Ten. The three-horse race, it probably is Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon. But I think that when you look at it, every team has got questions that they've got to answer.
And Michigan's schedule is interesting to me because they open with New Mexico, and then they're at Oklahoma.
Yep.
So that's a rough start, but they don't play Oregon.
Nope.
They don't play Penn State.
Nope.
They finish with Ohio State, but they go Central Michigan, Nebraska, who year two of Dylan Raiola, maybe there's something
Nebraska
there.
Should be better this year, and if they're not, Matt Rhule has got some serious issues going on there.
Wisconsin is picked to finish near the bottom of
12th.
The Big Ten, and they are coming after a bye week from Michigan at USC, Washington, Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, then they finish with Ohio State. It's not the murderer's row that the Big Ten can be, and that's one of the problems with this conference being so big is it's starting to feel very SEC-ish, which these teams are really tough, and then you play Kentucky.
Well, and if you heard Kurt Cignetti, Indiana's coach, what he said today, he's like, he was asked about canceling their non-conference game with Virginia. He said, we just took a page out of the SEC playbook.
Yeah.
I mean, don't play hard games if you don't have to, right?
Yeah.
Just win the schedule that's in front of you.
Wait till they start putting their easiest non-conference game right before their rivalry, and then they are the SEC. And that's what the Pac-12 never really grasped was, let's keep playing a nine-game schedule because that's what we do.
Is their biggest rival Purdue, though?
Indiana, yeah.
I don't know if you need to do that.
Yeah, that's fair point. But still, it's either way, set it right before your Penn State game, because Indiana does finish the season at Purdue, but November 8th they're at Penn State.
Yep, and that would be it. One thing Cignetti said though, which I agree with, is that he did say we took a page out of the SEC playbook, but he also called for uniform scheduling across college football because that's the biggest issue with the game itself right now is that you have these seats at the table, but they don't play anywhere close to a same schedule.
Well, I have volunteered this many a times. Pay me $300,000 and I will do the college football schedule. I will become the scheduling czar for all of college football and I will make it as fair as I possibly can.
I'll do that for a couple milli too.
Yeah.
You got
a couple
mil?
I don't even need a couple mil. I'll just do
undercut me like that.
Yeah,
don't prices right me with this $1.
I put my number out first. You have the opportunity to undercut me. You tripled the asking price. You pay me that nice little salary. Because here's the thing. When college football starts,
just get me into six figures
and
I'll be cool.
Done scheduling. Well,
Son of a gun.
The funny thing was, for years, the NBA schedule, do you know how many people did the NBA schedule? How many people they brought in to make that thing work?
No.
One guy.
I know that.
One guy, all he did year-round was just figure out the arena schedule and go, well, when is Taylor Swift going to be there? Who has hockey? And when are monster trucks there? Here's the NBA schedule. And that's all he did. I can do that for college football.
So for 24 years, a husband and wife were responsible for Major League Baseball schedules.
Yes, please. Can I get that job?
Just a husband and wife who were like, all right. And then they came in, they got outbid for making the MLB schedule.
Yeah, well, I'm putting it out there. I would love to take a crack at the college football schedule. We'll put in weighted schedules where if you finish first place, you play first place schedule. You finish last place, you play last place schedule.
Bingo.
Let's go. Get rid of all these conferences, do the whole
thing. And then we'll have cross-conference matchups. The SEC and Big Ten should have every year a challenge where you seed it out. Each conference goes, all right, whether it's your preseason poll, and you say, all right, we're going 1 through 18. We are going to go head-to-head. And our worst on worse. And then what we do is we flip a coin at the very beginning, and that is, determines where number one plays. If the SEC wins the coin toss, then one versus one is in SEC land.
Yep.
And then two is in Big Ten, three SEC, four, and you go back and forth. We just fixed scheduling college football, and we play the same number of conference games.
You're welcome.
For God's sake.
All right. Next couple days, we'll have you in. We'll talk a lot more Big Ten. We'll hear what Dan Lanning says in the middle of the day tomorrow, and we'll comment on that. Ooh. But we're going to let you go, and me and Russ are going to do our best efforts on the very first Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. We'll do it next.
Hey, I'm excited for this show, and this next hour is what this show is going to be all about moving forward. I'm excited for what you have prepared for the people because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, we love the people, and hopefully we're ready to go. The Fan Happy Hour next on 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Hey, it's on. Look, it's on.
Oh, it's on.
It is so on.
Pull up a chair, grab a cold one, smoke them if you got them. It's time for The Fan Happy Hour.
On The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
Your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, we got it, ladies and gentlemen. It is happy hour. We made it. The bonus hour is over. Big thanks to Dusty for sitting in with me on that. We'll do that the next couple of days. Jeff Rust, how are you feeling about the first ever episode of the happy hour? I know we threw a lot at you.
Yeah, doing great. Finally getting caught up. Got the podcast from the firm up and just
there you go.
I'm sitting here trying to get in some of the elements that you sent my way. And
So
it won't all be this hectic. So it's just today's the first day. Well, speed bumps and such.
Yeah, today very hectic. So the part of the idea of this show and this hour is going to be, we'll keep it fast paced. We're going to try to hit stories. We're going to try to have fun with it. We're going to have some jokes. We're going to do whatever we've got, but we're gonna move through it pretty quickly. Part of that hinges on having the opportunity to kind of set things up. So having the Ducks Happy or the Ducks Insider Show before Happy Hour allows you and I to kind of connect and go, all right, let's frame out the show.
Yes.
Today, we didn't get a chance to do that. Yeah. You're also doing the first episode of The Firm, getting that rolling. We're on FM, so we have all these changes. So if today goes haywire, it's entirely your fault.
Yeah, so I'm used to that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. As long as you and I are no in communication with that, so nothing has changed. But I use the metaphor. This show, I'll be the lounge singer, and you'll be the pianist. You'll be hitting the keys and kind of making it go through. So we've got a lot of imaging. There's going to be some misfires. Don't feel bad about it. It's going to be great. But you know, I don't think there's a better way to start our first ever happy hour than with the news that we got last week and the press conference we had last night. Damian Lillard is making his way back to the Rose City. And the first thought that I had when that press conference started, you have all of this conversation about everybody that is upset that Dame is coming back when he left us and it feels like we've been jilted. How does this work from a basketball standpoint? He's not even going to play this. You were paying a guy not to play. It doesn't fit with the timeline. All of the challenges that everybody had with it. You forgot how good that dude is in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
He gets up in front of the audience, and Dame just has a certain presence and a control of the room where he's going to say all the right things.
Yeah.
And there is rarely a better ambassador for a team and for a city. And the reason that Dame had all of the endorsements that he did, the reason that he had all of the respect that he had from the rest of the NBA.
Yeah.
Is the way that he carries himself.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a great player, and obviously all of this comes as a package deal, but the press conference just reminded me that this guy gets it.
Yeah, he's just, he seems like he's just, he is an approachable superstar.
Yeah, he's just got, he's got it down to earth, which kind of fits what Portland needs from their superstar. You
right.
don't have somebody that's aloof like you had with LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have somebody that is distant and living in another city like Clyde Drexler was, always had one foot out the door and ready to go.
Right.
The all-in Dame to Portland, it coagulated yesterday, right? It just,
yeah.
it felt like the right fit. There's going to be this very odd offshoot when you look back at Dame's numbers at the end of his career. He's already the all-time leading scorer in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go back and look back at his career and go, oh yeah, he did 2 years in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things that he said was, I miss having the young guys around. And
mm-hmm.
it felt like, you know, the timelines were shifting where it made sense that he has to leave. He gets to a point where it's like, hey, you can't bring in the third overall pick at my position, expect me to be cool with it.
Right.
I want to win a championship. We're not close to that. I wanna leave because of all of the other things that are going on. We've heard all about those. We've talked about them ad nauseum. It made sense that he left, but him coming back, it just kind of feels right. And if he's going to adopt this role of, the way Chauncey said it, the highest paid assistant coach in the league.
Yes.
If he's going to be sharing his wisdom that he's collected over a, you know, decade plus of playing in the NBA to these young guys and really be all in on that. I'm an optimist at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I watch the Blazers, Will Darkins and I had fights about this on air, tooth and nail.
Yeah.
It's very easy to be pessimistic about sports. Every year you've got 30 teams that start in the NBA, 29 of them lose. So
yeah.
if you pick that your team won't win a championship, guess what? You're probably right.
Exactly.
And you're going to be right almost every time.
Yep.
Being optimistic is, for some people, probably a lot harder. But for me, it always makes sense to kind of lean that direction. And I feel like last night solidified it. You with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, fantastic. Here's the problem.
Okay.
From a basketball standpoint, I tried to go through, being optimistic, I tried to go through and find the guys that have had 85, 90% of themselves after an Achilles injury.
Okay.
Okay, so I went through and I kind of looked at, now, some of these aren't all going to be negative. I think everybody remembers Kobe and his last 3 years after the Achilles injury. He was 34, close to the same age as Dame. He goes down. He's not the same person. Chauncey Billups went through a Achilles injury, played one season after that, was half of what he was before from a production standpoint. It's pretty easy to point to that. The couple guys that make you feel a little bit optimistic, a couple guys that are playing right now, one is KD.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one.
KD was only 30 when his Achilles was torn.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it and I go, if a guy with that size and that kind of length
yes.
can come back from it, that gives me some hope. The other one, I don't know if people are paying that much attention to, Klay Thompson's still averaging 16.5 points per game
yeah.
post-injury. Also 30 when he had the injury.
Right.
But that gives me a little bit of optimism as well. So
yeah.
I feel like if you're trying to find a little bit of a silver lining, if you can get, that's, I mean, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson are at like 85, 90% of what they were.
I would say, I mean, KD's probably 95% of what he was. The Klay is probably closer to 80.
Yeah.
I
mean, you have to remember that KD was in another stratosphere.
Yes.
So his points production have gone down a little bit and he's still got a 7 foot wingspan.
Right.
So he can go out there and do some things that Dame won't be able to do.
Yes.
Here's the two names that really surprised me that were on this list. Remember that Dominique Wilkins tore his Achilles?
That's right.
He had an Achilles tear after playing for 12 years, played 7 more years.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a drop-off, but he was still greatness.
Yeah.
That was in 1992.
But yeah, so afterwards, he was more of a role player, and that was, I don't remember exactly how many years he played in San Antonio.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the basketball reference pulled up, but you still have a guy that averaged 17.5 points post Achilles tear
yeah.
in 1992. People point to Kobe and go, look how much medicine has improved since Kobe.
Yeah.
Dominique tours in the 1990s. Nirvana was number one when he tore his Achilles, and he was able to work his way back and make a big impact in the NBA. The other one going outside of sports, there's a couple recently in football that I think show pretty good signs. Mm-hmm. Richard Sherman tore his Achilles playing one of the hardest positions in sports, where you are not just have to run at top speed, you have to move on somebody else's movement every single time. He tore his Achilles in 2017, ended up playing for the 49ers, made a Pro Bowl in 2019. That's a pretty good one. Terrell Suggs had a very quick recovery, played another 7 years, half of his career post-Achilles. Mm-hmm. But the other one is 1993, Dan Marino.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, yeah. Listen, unless my internet is different than yours, you can go up and pull it up. But I've got him playing 10 years pre Achilles. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. It was 1993, but he tore his.
Yeah.
Came back, finished up a Hall of Fame career, yeah, and didn't have significant drop-off. Yeah. Now,
well, he was always kind of a statue anyway.
Well, I was going to say, the athleticism doesn't always translate, but yeah, that's where you go back to Dame's knowledge of the game and being able to kind of understand the way it works. Mm-hmm. You just hope that he still has enough quickness to find his spots. But if he's willing to go and spot up, I think we found enough optimism for Dame. Does that work? Is everybody excited about this? Do I have you all on board? All the naysayers go away.
You've got me. I dove down a little bit of a Dominique rabbit hole. So you said it was 92?
No, I've got 1992 is what I found.
So in the 91-92 season, he played basically half the season. He played 42 games.
And there's
games.
The injury.
And then the 92-93, he played 71 games. Came back 29.9, almost 30 points a game.
Well,
like the immediate next season. The next year after that, the 93-94 season, traded from Atlanta to the Clippers, with Atlanta, he was just under 25 points a game, with the Clips at 29 points a game. 94-95, he played for the Celtics, 18 points a game. 95-96, he played in another pro league or did not play that season.
Okay.
Yeah, 1996-97 for the Spurs, 18.2 points a game. 97-98, did not play. And then 98-99, 27 games with the Orlando Magic, averaging 5 points a game.
Age always wins, but if there's anybody that has the work ethic and the regiment, I mean, you look at Dame and his boxing off season. You know, this is a guy that we can be optimistic about, I think. So the presser put some new revived spirit in me, and I hope it did the same for you. Yeah. All right, we're going to try something.
Putting in the effort and the work also will not be a problem for Damian Lillard.
That's what I mean. A guy with that work ethic.
He's a sicko like that.
Yeah. So we've got faith in it. So we're going to try something. This is going to be a bit we're going to do here on Happy Hour. And Mr. Rust, I'm going to need you to give me some sort of late night intro. We're going to try a segment we used to do on the Sinner and the Saint way back. We're going to pull back something we call In Case You Missed It. So go ahead and give me a late night intro like you're Ed McMahon, my friend.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, you're catching me off guard here.
I know. I wanted to. I thought it'd be more fun to see what your immediate reaction to this
is. So coming up on the other side of the break, there's Mr. Anderson.
No, we're going to do it right here. We don't need to.
Oh, we're doing it right here?
Yeah.
I thought it was break time.
All right. Let's do the break.
Okay.
And we'll try to do it before the break.
That's
next time.
Job is to keep you on the clock.
Yeah. Well, hey,
attention.
You're doing a great job. Right after the break, we'll do In Case You Missed It.
You're getting all loose during happy hour.
Hey, well, hey, that's what we're supposed to do, my friend. We will start the Daily Buzz next with In Case You Missed It. This is 105.1 The Fan.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on The Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz.
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 Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, we're going to try to keep this segment as a quick hitter. The plan is to try to get to as many topics as we can, but we still got to get to those In Case You Missed It jokes. So we're already behind the clock. It's the first show. I'm not too worried about it, Mr. Russ. You want to try a little In Case You Missed It? We'll try it on, see how it works.
Sure.
All right, let's give it a try. How about that late night intro for me, and we'll go with that, and then we'll roll into these.
Here we go with coming up next. Here on the Fan Happy Hour, as I am,
you're winging this. Just go. Terrible. Here's Luke
Just
Anderson, brother.
Here's former stand-up comedian turned Pizza Hut executive, Luke Anderson.
Yeah, there you go. And then you've got your laugh tracks already, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeff Russ is now in charge of trying to convey how the audience will react. So if you don't agree with his, feel free to hit us on the fan text line. But we're going to try to get you these jokes. In case you missed it, Donald Trump is threatening to hold up the Washington Commanders' new stadium in Washington, D.C. unless the team goes back to their old mascot. Scott, kind of feels like your drunk uncle is now president, doesn't it? All right, first thing that we do. Get rid of all the immigrants. B, bring back the Redskins.
Yeah.
And four,
all the racist nicknames.
And four, get me another beer. Does it feel like that? Well, you're just laughing. You're not even using the sound effects. I love it, my friend. Oh, you like that joke. Have you seen the new Jim Harbaugh images of him peeking through the tarps?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
So, and his comments that went along with it.
I didn't read the comments, but instead of just training his football team, also training the next Connor Stallions. How about that?
Connor Stallions.
Oh, no. What were the comments that you got from Jim Harbaugh that you liked better, my friend?
The scenes of him peeking out through the tarp, and it said how basically training camp feels like coming out of the womb.
Oh.
Yes, and then that accompanied him peeking through the tarp.
You like that better than the Connor Stallions? Come on. How to spy on a team? Can you just imagine that they get caught for spying this year?
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. All right. Let's try this joke and see how you like this one. In case you missed it, the Bengals offseason has not been going great. First-round draft pick Shamar Stewart is holding out because the rookie offer has some strange language in the contract. Now, Trey Hendrickson is not going to report to camp because he's waiting for extension. If you thought Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase were great last year, wait till this season when they play defense as well. Boy, that is an absolute disaster. I don't want to root for the Bengals. Like, I don't really have much desire to root for the Bengals, but last year, what they were able to do on offense with the seventh worst defense, which doesn't even explain how bad they were, because they started the absolute worst and were getting better and trying to make that playoff run. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase have made them must-watch television. Can we please get the cheapest team in the NFL to at least pretend that they care?
Well, yeah, the biggest part of it is, too, is it's they don't want to pay him like most everybody else in the league gets paid.
Yeah.
All he's they're only offering guarantee on the first year of his deal, whereas most of them, they're guaranteed, most deals these days, they're guaranteeing 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah. So this doesn't seem like rocket surgery here to me, but
no, you've got a guy that has more sacks than Myles Garrett and the Bosa brothers in the last couple years, and you're just going to be like, "No, we don't want to take any effort." Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Steelers are locking up their edge rusher and the Bengals are locking up their vending machines.
Exactly.
Oh, hey, that one worked. I'm catching him off guard. It's working. All right. In case you missed it, 40-year-old Chris Paul is joining the Clippers, a team that already has 37-year-old Brooke Lopez. Patty Mills and Nick Batum are 36. 35-year-old James Harden will be playing. 34-year-old Kawhi Leonard, who is often injured, won't be playing. After watching the Thunder and the Pacers match up in the finals as two of the youngest teams in NBA history to make the finals, where the rest of the league zigs, the Clippers break a hip.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
No. Anything else?
That's probably their New Jersey sponsor.
Their New Jersey sponsor is actually Werther's Original. No, I mean,
I know. So I gotta go back and forth between my pages.
I know. Hey, listen.
It's all a thing. We're a work in progress.
We're practicing. We're figuring it out as we go. No, I mean, this Clippers thing, I mean, do they really think this is the way forward? I mean, I have often said that there is one team that ever looks like they have a good plan in the NBA, and that's the team that wins.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the Pacers got close, and next year they're going to have no Tyrese Haliburton, they lost Miles Turner. It's going to be really difficult for them to get back. OKC is the only team that you look at and go, yeah, that makes sense. I know a lot of people like Kevin Durant to the Rockets, and they think that that's the missing piece. But every time Kevin Durant goes to a team that hasn't just won the championship, it's been a disaster.
Yeah.
So I don't have a whole ton of faith in that. But whatever the Clippers are trying to figure out, to me, just feels like a big miss.
I think I saw six players over the age of 33.
Yeah, their starting lineup, if they go with Chris Paul, James Harden, Nick Batum, Kawhi Leonard, and Brooke Lopez, their average starter will be 36 years old. I mean,
that's old.
Yeah, teams do not win. And there's this youth movement in the league. It's going to be absolutely ugly. But, I mean, if you can't trust a team with a winning pedigree like the Clippers, who can you trust? Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's We'll figure out the sound effects. I promise we'll get it all figured out. Let's see. What else do we got here? All right. Let's do this one, and this will kind of lead us into our next segment. If you were not watching baseball last night, you missed the Phillies and Red Sox games, and this was quite the 10th inning. So it's tied 2-2. Red Sox are the road team. They start the first batter off with a walk. They already have the automatic runner on second. Next pitch is a wild pitch, advances both runners to second and third. Then they intentionally walk the next batter. Then the Phillies walk off with a catcher's interference for the second time in MLB history. The Red Sox managed to lose a game without a single ball being put in play. Red Sox baseball, catch the fever. Or don't. Just wait there, and the fever will catch you. It doesn't matter. Exactly. Do whatever you want. This one is insane. The Phillies, I don't know if you remember this, earlier this season, the Phillies are playing the Giants, mm-hmm. were walked off with an inside-the-park grand slam.
Yes.
Technically scored as a three-run home run because they did not need the final run to get in. But a catcher walks them off with an inside-the-park home run. Now they just win a game where they are walked off on a catcher's interference. This is happening twice ever in Major League Baseball. That's how rare this is. They did not even have a stat for how many runs were scored by catcher's interference.
Man.
The only time it even registers is when it wins a game.
That's bananas. And Danny and Dusty had always said, too, anytime you mention a first in baseball, it's amazing. They've been playing that game for 150 years.
Well, and they keep every stat.
Yeah.
Everything is that. The one of the more elegant things in sports is the baseball scorebook. You can go back and see everything that happens and just from which direction the K is to see how people struck out and do everything and keeping those. I had a friend that his dad would keep a scorebook when he would take these kids to the game. Uh-huh. So then they would have it and go, here's the exact score of the game, the first game that you went to at, you know, the Kingdom, or we went to San Francisco, and here's the scorebook of the game. I always thought that was really cool. I was too lazy to do it with my kids,
right?
But that was really cool. And so, the walk-off catcher's interference last night, in case you missed it, was great. So what we're going to do on this show is third segment of each show. So the 2:30, we are going to do some audio. So we'll do that. But first, we'll take a walk over to the sports desk, and you can tell me what we missed there in the Daily Buzz.
And here we go.
It's Tuesday on the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
You might not want to let your children watch this.
Time for play-by-playback.
Gary Newton is the greatest corn dogger ever.
Real game calls, real reactions, and one big question.
Is that a corn dog in your pocket?
Oh yeah. That's my practice dog, sorry.
Ooh. Almost went. 2-2.
Hopefully catches interference on a take. He hits the glove.
That came to us on NESN last night. We were talking about it before the break. The Phillies winning on a walk-off catcher's interference after starting extra innings with the ghost runner, and then a walk and an intentional walk and a hit by... Anyway.
It was a mess.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It's not a ghost runner. It's an automatic runner. The ghost runner is when you have to leave second base and go, there's an imaginary person there. I have to go hit the wiffle ball now. It's not a ghost runner. Anybody that uses that term is wrong, and you, sir, are wrong. Go ahead with your question.
So we keep having these weird things that have only happened once or twice in all of baseball, but it seems like they're happening more frequently lately.
Well, yeah, this is an interesting one because there's a lot of people that are kind of opposed to the robot umpires. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it will actually solve is there's kind of an epidemic of catcher's interference in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. You would see 20 or so of these in a season. As of 2023, you're seeing it up near almost 100 instances. And this one obviously cost the Red Sox a game.
Yeah.
But what's happening is catchers are being so aggressive framing pitches and going and trying to move their glove over to an advantageous position, getting closer to the batter. There's been a lot more of these. And catchers are getting paid for it. The guys that are really good at it are being rewarded. So catchers don't necessarily want the robot umps, but if you want less weird things to happen in baseball, one of the things that's causing all of these once-in-a-lifetime things mm-hmm. is people looking for the slimmest, of margins to win the game. So if you like this, you're against robot umps. If you'd rather see games not decided on catcher's interference, maybe we have to embrace some technology, ladies and gentlemen.
Superman hitting the ball in the air to center field. The starting pitcher hits a monster home run. He is out of this world.
That comes to us from Sportsnet LA. Shohei Ohtani, the starting pitcher last night for the Dodgers, gave up a home run to Byron Buxton in the first half of the inning. In the second half, or the bottom half of the inning, he comes back and hits a home run to take the lead at 2-1. This
that is a perfectly appropriate question, Jeff Russ. I had the pleasure of going to Fenway Park to watch a baseball game, and I did not care who the opponent was. Mm-hmm. Our friends at Odyssey Boston were nice enough to get me tickets, and just to see Fenway is one of the things that is absolutely awesome. One of the other marvels that I got to see that one day was Shohei Ohtani pitching because the Angels were in town. That is a giant human being.
Large.
But the numbers don't always do it justice. 6'5", 260. You see somebody that is that way in the world, they are round in the middle, and they are completely vertical. This dude is squared off shoulders, like a triangle on the top.
Yeah,
like it is the sketch drawing of like the ideal man. And some people were asking the question, like, if he's hitting this well, why even bring him back to pitch? This is the reason.
Yeah.
Yes, he gives up the home run, but having that competitive fire where a guy goes in there, and I don't know if you remember why the best player on all your sports teams was the best player.
Yeah.
Usually it's because they were psycho.
Yeah.
And when you grow up playing as many sports as I did, I was very rarely the best player, but it was partly because I was not insane.
Yeah.
The idea that we all, if I could be Tom Brady. Well, you can't be. That dude is crazy. If I could be Wayne Gretzky. No, that guy, there's something different in his brain.
Yeah.
Not only is Shohei Ohtani an absolute physical freak, I think this is what makes it really fun to see what he does, where he can go and turn it around and flip the bat to the other side and just go, all right, sorry I let one out. Up, guys. Let me go out and hit another one. And the other thing that we'll probably see happen here in the city of Portland is having an international star, and I don't know if Jung Hansen will become that.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani is the most popular baseball player in the world.
Yes.
And I don't think we realize the magnitude of it being, you know, just here in Portland, Oregon. But in L.A. he's huge. In Japan, he's huge. Across Asia, across the world, they are getting a lot of attention. And already selling 3 million Jung Hansen jerseys for the Blazers.
Yeah.
It is going to look very, very different. I remember going to a spring training game to try to watch Ichiro. And he did not play. The amount of disappointment there was on the bluff out in Surprise, Arizona, or wherever we were, of people that came just to see Ichiro.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still an international star. I think it's fantastic. And Shohei Ohtani is worth every penny they spent.
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
So, Jera, making the unprecedented move, quite illogical move of basically talking S about his star player that wants a new contract, and he's like, well, I don't know if he's worth it, because maybe, you know, maybe he's going to miss 6 games like he did last season. So I guess the question is, when or if does Jerry Jones ever figure out that he is the one in the way of the Cowboys succeeding?
He will never figure it out. This is him showing that he will never figure it out. In that comment, you hear him not understanding that there's other people that can hear what he's saying. It feels very much like the things you say inside are now just officially on the outside.
Yes. It went from inner monologue to just spewing out a stream of consciousness.
He has no inner monologue anymore. Somebody puts a microphone and he does not have the ability to stop things from just flooding out of his mouth.
Yeah.
This is the point in Jera's career where the people around him need to speak up. They need to go and talk to him and go, Jer, You can keep all of the positions, all of the titles you want. You're not allowed to speak in public anymore. This is everybody knows that if you pay somebody a lot of money, but when you're the guy that is paying that lot of money, of course you're thinking about it more. Nobody wants to hear that. We just talked about getting a fan base riled up and how Shohei Ohtani is a global star. Micah Parsons could be that star if he gets out of Dallas. I can't remember who it was. Terrell Smith or somebody for the Cowboys was saying that, you know, the expectations, we win a Super Bowl. Not in Dallas, you're not. Yeah. Not the way it's set up right now. Mm-hmm. You guys hired Brian Schottenheimer to be your head coach. I'm sorry, that does not inspire a lot of people. The highest paid quarterback is still Dak Prescott, mm-hmm. and I don't have a whole lot of faith in him. This team is an absolute mess, and the fun thing is, if we wait long enough, Jerry will tell us why everything is an absolute mess. So. Well,
and the thing is that Jerry, what Jerry loves about being the Dallas Cowboys owner is that he can be the most front-facing person in the organization. Yep. And Jerry Jones loves him some Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
He loves to talk about his Cowboys, loves to talk about himself. He loves to talk about how his players make too much money. And this is one of those where they're in the same situation here, kind of like the Bengals are with Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
They both seem to have a history not wanting to pay their star players.
Sure, but Mike Brown isn't the GM or whatever the title or president of football operations or whatever Jarrah has given himself. That's the thing that's so dumb about it. I would say it's starting to go downhill for Jarrah, but it's been going downhill, and this is just the latest instance of that.
So basically both teams, they don't want to pay their star players, but they know they need to pay their star players. Yep. They wait too long to pay their star players, and they wait until the market has already been set and then have to pay their star players more than that when had they just done it a month or two sooner. They'd be saving a couple million dollars a year.
Yeah. And you look at some of the contracts that Matthew Stafford got paid a whole lot of money to play quarterback. I think mm-hmm. he's now getting paid less than TJ Watt. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a couple other, Jamar Chase, I think he's getting paid more. So he's not even in that stratosphere of higher paid other than quarterbacks. He's making $40 million. There's a couple guys making more than that. So the earlier you sign them, the quicker it will be a better deal for you. It's just the way it goes. I'm sorry the NFL is making so much money, Jerry, that they have to pay these players that much to get them out there. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that.
And Mike Brown, he was making similar comments about not wanting to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just... You need good players to have a good football team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of that.
You need good ownership to have a good football team, too.
Well, but that's the thing that is so frustrating is the Bengals have become good despite all of that.
I know.
That's terrible.
Fell ass backwards into it.
All right. We're gonna put a bow on things. But before we do, I need to tell you that you have a chance to win all this week on this show. We are giving away advanced screening passes for The Naked Gun. This will be on July 28th at the Regal Lloyd Center. So listen today through Friday, and I'll give you the code word. Here's what you want to do. 503-864-6326 is our number to win the tickets. What I want you to do is text the word naked to that number, 503-864-6FAN, and that's how you enter to win. These tickets are courtesy of Paramount Pictures. All the rules are at 1051thefan.com. All right, winners will be selected, and you'll be informed on that. So go ahead, and hopefully that movie's great, even if it's not. It's free tickets. What else do you want? We'll get one more for the road. We do it next. This is weird. It's the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Relax, hot shot.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far.
Wicked woman, cool games and mysteries. You got a cool spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
Hi, welcome back in. It is the first ever Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson. Thank you all for joining along. One of the things about doing a one-man show here, it's a little hard to keep an eye on comments. Mr. Rust, what are the people saying on the text, on the YouTube chat? Anything good out there?
Well, here's one that'll butter your biscuit a little bit. Yeah, Luke, you are a treasure. I'm glad they got a spot for you daily. Let's go!
Yes! All right, thank you. Yeah. Listen, I appreciate that. What else we got there?
PJ or P1RJ, happy hour at 2 o'clock. Count me in. Cheers.
Yeah.
Did I just hear hear someone say rocket surgery? Yes, you did. It's a bit. It's called a joke.
Love rocket
surgery. I'm a dad. I do dad jokes. That's my thing.
You know what one of my favorite realizations when I became a dad is? Realizing that dad jokes aren't supposed to be funny. They're supposed to piss off
your supposed
kids.
To be groaners. Yes.
No, not groaners. Like when you say it the first time and your daughter goes, ugh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you say it the third time, she goes, stop doing that! Yeah. That's what they're for.
Exactly.
Yeah, like yes. I thought that dad jokes were like, oh, they're kind of funny, but they're clean. No, they are just to piss off your children.
Exactly. Yeah, Jerry Jones sounding more and more like Al Davis with every passing weird presser.
Amen. That is the that was in my head. I just didn't say it. Thank you for saying it.
Yes. Are the weekend shows still on the program? The Sinner and the Saint?
Sinner and Saint is done. Sinner and Saint is retired. We will have Will Darkins on with us on Friday. We also may have a special Sinner and Saint guest in the 1 o'clock hour. So the bonus hour will be a farewell to the Sinner and the Saint. Sports Sunday is moving to Saturdays.
Yes, and that'll be Joe and Rashad.
That'll be Joe and Rashad, which is a great listen. If you had your Saturday routine down, you will not miss a beat. Those guys are great. The Hot Corner is retired. Patrick Harris and Joe Fish did their final show last week. And the recruiting show with Andrew Nimick will stay on. So there's your shoulder program. I think I got it all.
Yeah, I think so. And then I don't know, somebody, I don't know if these are directed at you and me or me or what, but there is a lot of people just texting in naked. So who do they
probably
want
just want to see us naked? That makes sense.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah. No.
I am a sexy beast. Yes.
Well, you know what? As the new show on the station, we're already the one that everybody wants to see naked. I'm very happy about that. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So, this segment, we're going to go this direction. I'm going to tell a quick story, and then what I want you guys to do as listeners is send in your version of the story. What we'll try to do is start tomorrow's show with it. So, I have to tell this. I'm very embarrassed about it, but I figure I have to be honest with the new audience. My daughters last weekend had their first lacrosse tournament that they were invited to. So not just a single game, they went out there. And I always told myself I would not be that yelling, screaming dad that the referees turn around and yell at.
Yes. How long did that last?
One game. One game. I tried my best. Here's the scenario. Let me tell you what happened. Okay, so my daughters played first and second grade lacrosse in the spring. They get invited to play up to the third grade level.
Ooh.
They did not play positions in second grade. In third and fourth grade, they have positions. They can't cross the center line. I vaguely know the rules. I never played lacrosse. They got recruited to this team. Mm-hmm. Their elementary school teacher, one of the elementary school teachers where they go to school, is one of the high school coaches. They recruited the girls. They're playing, and they're having a blast. And they're doing well enough. They get invited to play up with the older girls. They don't know where to go on the field, so I'm trying to direct them the best that I can. And let's be honest, I'm just watching my kids. I think everybody does this. You're just watching your kids. So I'm watching my daughters, and I have twin 8-year-old daughters. They're trying to figure out where they need to be on the field, doing my best to help them. And one of my daughters goes to get the ball, and they're playing an Oregon select team. So we live in Southwest Washington. They're playing an Oregon select team, and one of my daughters is going for the ball. And so I'm yelling for her, and I'm very excited because, you know, it's a big boost for her ego, and I'm very excited about it. While she's going for the ball and battling one of these elite lacrosse players that's at least 9 years old, going after it, another ball is on the field, and the girl runs behind my daughter and scores it in the net.
Wait, what?
And the referee calls it a goal.
Wait, what?
That's what I said. So then, as a concerned citizen and a father, I start yelling, there's two balls on the field!
There's only supposed to be two balls in my pants, not on the field.
Well, I didn't do that. It's a child's game, yeah. Mr. Rust. Oh. I'm just trying. I go, that can't be a goal! There's two balls on the field! And so I'm yelling this, trying to get the girl's attention. She turns around, and it's a teenage referee. She's probably like a high school player or whatever. She turns around and gives me a thumbs up, and I go, they just counted the goal! And because they flip the scoreboard over with a little hand flip. So I'm yelling. I go, they just had the goal. I yelled enough that this lovely gal who's refereeing the game, probably getting paid a pittance.
Probably just, like $10 for the game.
If that. Yeah. And it's 96 degrees for her too.
Oh, sweet.
And
yeah.
She's spending her whole weekend there. Mm-hmm. Honestly, she's doing a phenomenal job. It was actually the second game. So I made it one game, but I didn't get it. She was doing a much better job than the other referee. And she looks at me and she does, I probably went just ghost white. She turns to me and goes, they're only 10. And my brain, I go, mine are only 8.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, I should probably shut up. And yeah, so I turned into that dad. It took me exactly 2 games of the first tournament that I played in. So my question to all of you listeners out there that are dads, that are moms, that are parents, that had parents like this, send us your best stories of being a terrible fan or having a terrible fan experience or whatever at a game. But it took me exactly 2 games of the first tournament that I ever went to, and we got that. So send them however you want, social media, text, YouTube chat. We'll pull those and we'll tell some of those stories to start tomorrow's show. The other thing that happened was my wife, she goes, yeah, next game, I'm gonna have to sit on the other side of you because I was yelling so much. And I didn't know how to take this because I've coached basketball for the girls, and I played basketball. So I like the rules are simple or whatever. So I get it. And I was able to kind of go with the flow with basketball, and I knew all of the kids' names. Mm-hmm. And I was able to be like, hey, so-and-so do this or whatever. So I didn't single out my children. And then I actually helped a little bit coaching. Nice thing about having the Saturday show gone is now I can probably actually help coach lacrosse.
Yes.
But I helped with a lot of the practice. I knew all the girls' names, so for the few games that I got to go to during the second grade season, I knew everybody's name, so I could tell everybody, like, hey, great job.
Yes.
Whatever your name is.
Exactly.
Like one of the Emilys.
Yes.
Great job. And so I could do all of that. But going to a game where I only knew my kids, that was the other thing that made me feel worse, is the only 2 kids I could yell at, because I was slowly picking up the other kids' names through osmosis and hearing other people do it.
Right.
Oh, man. It took me 2 games, and I immediately turned into that worst dad. Have you had any of those moments? You're a girl dad as well.
The closest, one of these past seasons, my older daughter, she's 7th grade. They played on a team where I think they didn't have a ton of interest between 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So
what were they playing?
Soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're on this team, there was a combination of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. She was right smack dab in the middle. And I have tried to make it a point to not be the yeller.
Yeah.
I'm out there. And
right?
Most of the time, if I am speaking up, it's, hey, great ball, nice pass, you know, good ball.
Yeah.
Nice try, nice shot, blah, blah, blah.
I went to a game. Yeah, my brother invited me to one of his daughter's soccer games because a guy that I played high school football with was the coach. And I just listened to my brother this whole time. And this is the best imitation I could do of my brother. Go! 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 For 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's all he did. Didn't say where to go.
Right.
Didn't say like which direction or where the ball was.
Yeah.
Go! And then every once in a while would throw in his daughter's name. And then just go! Go!
Yeah.
Go. That was it. So yeah. I was like, I don't want... It turns out I'm that guy.
The closest I got was going, you know, basically along the lines of, so the elbows in the back are okay now? Is that what we're doing?
You would, of course, go sarcastic.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, this is the way that we're going to play this game
now. Exactly.
No, there's just
me out there.
There's just no rules.
Yes. What's the deal with grape nuts?
Yes. I knew you would go Seinfeld. That is perfectly appropriate. So I very much appreciate that is who you ended up. Well, hey. Was it the perfect show, Mr. Russ? I don't know that it was, but you and I are going to figure out this cadence. I'm very glad to have you on as a producer as we get better at this. It will sound smoother, but I don't know if it'll be as much fun. It was a blast having you on, so I appreciate all the work that you put in
Absolutely. To
get the first show going.
We're grading on a curve. I'll give us an A-.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Dusty and Ryan and everybody putting in all the work and to get us on The Fan. Hey, first time saying it, prime time is next. Keep it right here on 105.1 The Fan. Look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.